Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening.
Jaggedy, craggedy, jaggedy, jack.
Smacking for the Lord, yeah.
I have a quick request. If you guys know outcomes of the World Juniors from today,
all right,
I have them recording on Fubo on the app. Nice. This has got to be my 12th pre-trial.
Don't say it now.
Well, what is Fubo going
to
listen?
They caught on Fubo, to me already.
If you're listening, I need free sponsorship. The free trials aren't enough. I need free sponsorship as well.
Right.
Due for a sharpening presented by Fubo.
And not TNT.
And not TNT.
The differences right. between TNT and Fubo. We really rally on this, okay? TNT is so far behind. I don't know if they don't do replays of games. They don't offer it. The only thing sports related outside of everything else that they have, which when you look at the app, is just like crappy TV. And we all grew up on TNT being like pretty low tier. If you had to pick what channels, NBC, ABC, USA, blah, 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 was it TBS even, you know, TNT would always be synonymous with like Cowboys, James Garner.
Right. Yep.
NASCAR.
The NBA. They were really big into the NBA. That was their thing.
Was that when I was a kid, though? I don't remember the NBA.
I maybe.
Just Chuck Norris shit.
Yeah, right? You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackie Chan?
If the NBA and the NHL are on there now, that's a good revamp for their image, right? But that's really all they've gained. So they still have all that other, crappy Katherine Heigl romantic comedies and stuff with Jackie Chan. There you go. Any of those like buddy comedies where most of it is like, this guy's white and this guy's black. Like that just can't, they can't do that. What? That's crazy. You know, it's so weird to be like teamed up with someone of a different color without being constantly reminded of it. You have to talk about it because it's a thing. Right. So, out of that comes a hockey game like once every week, right? Maybe they have a doubleheader. I think tonight they had a doubleheader.
Yeah, Wild and Lightning.
But yeah, you can't rewind. You can't pause. You can't record. You can't. They don't offer replays, as I said. So Fubo is just a vastly superior machine.
Isn't the TNT app basically just still the channel TNT? And they just play like multiple things. Yeah, so Fubo is like a streaming.
Just slower.
A station.
Right. If you actually had cable, TNT would at least be in real time.
Right.
The TNT app is their attempt at real time via app, which is seconds and seconds behind real time. You know? So the reason we have Fubo as our gracious sponsors, as we mentioned earlier, this partnership has been going on for quite some time. It hasn't, right?
Your partnership, sure.
My partnership with myself and Fubo. Because I was I tied my skates too tight tonight and took a whack off the top of the tongue. My arch is tender. Oh, that hurt.
Should get that looked at.
I just knocked a bunch of shit over. By what? By you?
I don't know.
You want to look at it? it still hurts. So I have all those games recorded. I'm going to get at them some other time. But I did watch the Wings tonight. Or should I say I watched the Devils.
Right.
Did you watch the Devils?
Most of it.
Yeah. Me too. Most of it.
Yeah. It was about when we all decided to say this game is not worth watching that I stopped watching.
Yeah. Well, maybe if they had Robbie Fabry just came back.
He was playing really well. I mean, he was trying to tear it up and he just wasn't getting a whole lot of help. I mean, they had some good looks, but...
They did. But Vitek Vanacek was pretty good. But I think a lot of people, what we were going to get to, a lot of people were surprised that maybe not that Robbie Fabry came back, but the move the Red Wings and Steve Yzerman made to make room for Robbie Fabry's roster spot.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Yeah, that caused a stirrup.
Yes.
A syrupy stirrup. And everyone got a sticky taste. But
what he's trying to say is that Jacob Verana was moved down to Grand Rapids and had to clear waivers, which, you know, being one of our top goal scorers last year is a pretty, like you said, it's a sticky situation.
Till it wasn't. And then it did, the sticky cleared up. Is it sticky? And he just slid right down. like right after a Brewers home run, he just slid right down.
Well,
they don't have that anymore, do they?
No, they do.
They do.
They do.
Yeah, he's still there.
What did they change? Colored
it differently. They changed. It's no longer Miller Park. That was years ago now. But
no, I knew that.
But they made it a different color. But Bernie's still there. He still does the slide and everything.
Well, I don't know who was talking about that. I was under the impression for some reason that it was the beer. Like anyone would give a shit or blame you for having beer represented at a place called Brewer Park or Brewer Stadium, whatever the hell it's called these days.
I think maybe at one point he was sliding into a beer. Maybe?
It was. He used to slide into a beer mug and bubbles would come up, or balloons rather, like suds.
That hasn't been there for a while. So, yeah. But yeah, so now it's just the slide. He just slides down from a chalet. So maybe it's like skiing. He's Nordic. I don't know.
Right. Because it's synonymous with baseball in Milwaukee, not beer.
Of course. Yeah. No.
So that is a big change. Yeah. So that's what I was referring to, is that he used to souse himself.
It's true.
By dousing himself with beer. He would jump into the beer. Well, he would slide into it. So Jacob Verana, maybe the beer came first. I don't know. Slid himself, sticky or not, right onto the waiver wire. Point is, as Eric said, this one was really surprising. It took everyone in the hockey world by surprise and shock and awe and wonder and confusion and a little bit of anger. And for all the other teams in the NHL and their fan base, they were licking their chops. It was so sticky and gooey and syrupy, you know. Well, did you read any of did you guys read any of those tweets and everything that came out today about that?
Yeah, I read the one that you sent me. Not just
today, but last night too.
Or the one that you posted. I don't know. Like, before we go any further, we do obviously support him going through player assistance program and figuring out whatever it is that he needed to do and to take care of. So we're glad he's back, but that's precisely the reason that this was even more shocking and kind of scary. It's like, you know, we want to see him play and it hasn't happened in forever.
If you're not familiar with the player assistance program, so the player assistance program, it assists players, obviously, with a wide variety of different issues, right? Could be anything from, you know, drugs, alcohol, rehab, to mental health issues, to a wide variety of things, correct?
Right. And they did not disclose what his reason was. So whatever it was.
Right. As they are wont to not do, which is good. Because that's just more distraction. God damn, if that got out, that'd just be brutal. And people are not necessarily default to leave people alone on that, especially on the internet, where everyone's nice and anonymous.
Right.
So your balls are way bigger the more anonymous you are, right? You sit behind a computer. So pass your judgment. Instead of that, they just don't allow it to happen because, they don't disclose those things. But I guess a little background real quick would be Jacob Verana, after two games played this year, the first two, I guess go back even more because it's probably relevant, right?
I would say.
He hurt his shoulder two training camps ago, the first 10 minutes of camp. Like, I think, was he, because it was like COVID, so there was visa stuff. So he was one of the guys who was like a day or two late to Traverse City, Michigan, where they have the Red Wings training camp every year. So it was like, oh, it was where Verana's finally there. And he's on the ice for 10 minutes. And all the tweets and stuff started to come through that he fucked up his shoulder. And then within a day, it was like he's going to be out for 4 months, 4 to 5 months. And now we learn, I don't know, maybe I was just behind on this, but he put that off as like a last resort thing.
Yeah, he thought he could play through it. So he tried.
And that's nothing new to pro sports.
Oh, absolutely. If you can avoid a surgery, you do it as long as you can.
I get that. But do you remember when Steven Weiss unfortunately got signed to like a 5-year deal with the Red Wings?
Yeah.
And it's not that Weiss was a bad player. He wasn't. In fact, he was like the most point gettingest player in Florida Panthers history. So it didn't look like a bad move, but it was like he had a sports hernia that he mistook as a groin injury at first.
Yeah.
So he was getting like unofficial side help for this groin injury he ended up not even having. It was a sports hernia. And the fact that you're not telling the team about this to begin with is probably one of the reasons that it was misdiagnosed to begin with.
Okay? Right.
In the first place. So that kind of reminds you of this, where you're, if you're not telling somebody, I'm not saying I don't know if the Wings knew or not, but it's not new to have that situation where maybe a player wants one thing and a team wants the other one. So who knows what happened behind the scenes that could all lead up to what we're talking about.
Right.
Happened in the last 24 hours. Did Jacob Verana disclose his injury to Steve Yzerman, and maybe Yzerman wanted him to get it done and he didn't? And then look what happened. Now it's time to play and you get hurt and you have to get it done anyway. Or right. Maybe he didn't even tell him. I don't know. We're never going to know that, probably. But the point was, he missed a whole lot of time. Okay. Fast forward to the second game of the season this year. He scores a goal, real nice Verana style goal, right?
Yeah.
Short side while he's skating over the blocker. Next game, he's not available, personal reasons. Then the next game, he's not available, personal reasons too. Then we find out he's entering the player assistance program. So that was how long?
The player assistance program is like 90 days, isn't it? Or, you know, that's...
I'm not entirely sure what it is. But he's been gone until like a week and a half ago, basically.
Yeah, so since
was his
October.
First eligible. Yeah. So they sent him to the AHL for their affiliate team, the Grand Rapids Griffins, to have a 3-game conditioning stint. Okay. He has the 3 games. He doesn't score any goals. He's a -5. Then we find out yesterday morning, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to extend his stint for a full 2 weeks, which I think would have just got him another 3 games.
Right. Give or take.
Mm-hmm. Then we get the news about the Detroit Red Wings exposing Jacob Verana to waivers. So this whole saga of Verana in Detroit could have ended right there. Could have ended right there. What would that have meant? That would mean that you traded Anthony Mantha. You got some...
Traded Richard Panik.
Well, we got him. The Red Wings got him.
Oh, yeah,
with
we got
Verana.
Right, with Verana.
Right. But well, ultimately, you got some good draft picks, and the one draft pick roundabout, because he had to make a couple moves, but it got Sebastian Kosa, the goaltender,
right,
into the Red Wings system. And they hope that he's the goaltender of the future for sure. Right. So even that you could say,
that's a good standpoint to just think of, you know, how many things we've got for him. If we lose him, then
right.
You know, not a total loss,
but it's like, why?
Right. And it's figuring
there
out
comes that. The question, like, how do you waive a guy who sits only behind Austin Matthews for goals scored per game 5-on-5 in the past however many games you add it to where Verana, because Verana's games for Detroit have all been patched in like
right.
The end of one season, the end of another season, and the very slight beginning of another season. But the guy can score goals. How he plays away from the puck, whatever, you can remedy that when he plays, right? But it's like, I get it. I mean, if you're already 3 seasons, well, the first season doesn't count. You can't blame him for what date you traded for him. But why expose him? So now you're getting into how the team is playing and who's responsible for that on the team. Robbie Fabry's coming back from a really long hiatus because of his third ACL surgery.
Yeah.
Clearly, the guy has been working hard enough to impress the Red Wings staff, right?
Not only that, but just to come back from that injury being his other leg. So the fact that he was able to come back from injury and then, yeah, prove to them that he's able to go out there and actually help us right off the bat. That's, he must have been working his ass off for the last, you know,
month. He's been skating with the team for a really long time and, you know, going with the levels that you skate when you're coming back from that type of injury where you go no contact for a while, then you do light contact, and he's been doing a lot. So with Verana coming out of the player assistance program, he had not been on the ice nearly as much as Fabry has. So right there, you can't equate. They're in the same situation. They're both ready to go. So why did you pick Verana, or essentially why did you pick Fabry over Verana is how they would put it, right? Well, it's not the same thing. Verana's not as ready to go as Fabry is, even with the 3-game stint in Grand Rapids.
We don't even know where his head's at yet. You know, we don't know how conditioned he could have stayed. So,
right. So if you think about all of that, you know, if you could keep the guy guilt free and consequence free in Grand Rapids for as long as it takes for him to get his game back and do what everyone else in the AHL does, is try to prove that they belong in the NHL.
Right.
Right. And they incentivize guys for that. I mean, the AHL, there's all kinds of stuff, right? You get paid way less. That, let's put it, that's the number one thing. That's what you're going to go after. The hockey's not as good.
Yeah.
The hockey's good though. The hockey's real good.
Yeah.
They say the jump from college and juniors and whatnot to the AHL is a lot harder than the jump from the AHL to the NHL. But what else do you see in a difference of the AHL and the NHL?
I mean, there are less perks, or at least the perks that you get that are the same are not the same quality.
Yeah. Like hot dogs versus steak.
Yeah, pretty much. If you're getting ribeye, now you're getting like flank steak or something.
Right. especially on the road.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I don't know what it is now. I would assume it's not the same, but it wasn't that long ago when guys would talk about their stints in the AHL where you're talking fast food. You're talking a lot more riding the bus, a lot more bus rides. Yeah, which rides.
I think they still do, right?
Well, I think you got to, inevitably, you have to fly.
Well, yeah, but like to close proximity, you know, the state over, I feel like they would take a bus.
Yeah, not only that, but they also, maybe this shows that they do bus more because they play a lot of like head-to-head, back-to-back matchups.
Right, with the same team.
Were you reading earlier? It was last week and we all got together and we did that last episode. But it was like the Admirals had played the Griffins and you said that they meet 8 times a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. So a lot of that's got to be because, hey, you bus more than you fly, right?
Right. So I wonder how their divisions stack up as far as, you know, do they have more divisions than the NHL just to keep it easier schedule-wise?
More proximity-based?
Yeah.
Very well could be.
I mean, if you play a team 8 times, that's a good chunk of the season.
That almost implies that you have way less teams.
That too. But
I think that the AHL would have to at least have as many teams as the NHL would because of the way the system.
Right. It's like a standardized system. So
there's 4 divisions. The Atlantic Division, the North Division, the Central Division, and the Pacific Division. The Atlantic Division has 8 teams. The North Division has 7 teams. Central has 7. And the Pacific has 10. So we're looking at 14, 22, 32 teams here.
Huh. Yeah, so there you go. Because you got to be an affiliate. I know,
right. Well,
it used to be that way. The Chicago Wolves weren't affiliated with anyone, but are they Vegas's team now?
It sounds right, but I'm not sure.
I should have researched this. There was one team I could have swore that was a farm team for 2 teams after the last expansion with Seattle. So you could get called up by either team
Oh, I think that was just play temporary. Against someone
who got called up by the other team.
I think that's what it is. So that's a temporary system that they do until they can get a farm team.
Right.
Is they okay. borrow another team's to pull guys up from in case they have an injured player. Right.
Which you would have to do if you were new, right. like Seattle, or even, you know, Vegas hasn't been in the league that long at all. So what do you do when you have a new farm system with no farm animals? Right. It's like you don't have any drafts under your belt.
Right.
So who the hell do you put on these teams?
Probably just whoever you can find.
Right. Yeah. Whoever is there is like, you know, you two. Is there a drummer in the audience? So, you know, when the Milwaukee Admirals just has drummers go out there and
right.
play music instead of hockey, which is what maybe, you know, I don't know if Verona's a drummer. Maybe that was one of the things that played into it. You know, guy can keep a good beat on the skins. He can really stop right there. I'm going to stop me and I'm going to stop you. So Jacob Verana going down to the AHL. Oh, I was going to say real quick, the other things that that they incentivize you to play better. So you make the NHL because you don't want to stay in the AHL. There's the pay. There's the food. There's the way you travel. There's the right. fact that you share a hotel room with somebody else. It's the type of hotels that you go to. Another one in the NHL, you don't have 50 different novelty jerseys a season. Right. And I know the NHL is, they're doing a little more exploring with different jerseys for every team that kind of mandated, but they still want them to look cool.
Right.
I mean, the AHL, you know, the NHL game, reverse retros, some of them don't look that great, but at least they don't have like a cartoon pig on there with like the where the feet are like the speedy, you know, like you're doing right. like a burnout, a skid.
Yeah
and he's like, you know, I mean, I think the worst maybe like the Sharks, where the shark is biting the hockey stick in half.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That one's got to be the most AHL-esque jersey.
I don't know. I think Arizona looks pretty AHL.
Depends which one you're looking at, I think. But don't think all the Sharks ones.
Blocks all over them. Yeah, all the Sharks ones.
Just, well, maybe that just shows that hockey doesn't belong in the desert.
I don't know. Everybody deserves to have some semblance of it, but
no matter how poorly you do for decades,
we'll keep it there.
You will always keep a team in Arizona, no matter if they kick you out of your NHL size rink. You can just go down to the local high school and play with them.
I've always, you know, I've been curious about that. You know, they've moved other teams for far less.
Yeah, for what they're keeping the Coyotes in Arizona for.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, the Thrashers were, I mean, didn't they go bankrupt?
I think that's the point of most of the movements, is that if you go back and ask Bettman, they all didn't have enough money to support a team in the NHL. And there's always just bigger markets with more money.
Bring it to Milwaukee, baby.
Bring it to Milwaukee. And if you have, because you have the AHL team in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and there you have the teddy bear tosses, which is another thing you have to endure. Which is why, as a player, it would behoove you to work as hard as you can to make it up to the NHL.
Right.
So if you squander that, and I'm never going to say that it wasn't good for Verona to get the help that he needed. There's no doubt. However, whatever happened to get to that point to begin with, the people involved are going to know more than we're ever going to know. Okay.
Yeah.
You would not yell at someone for having like a mental illness. You're not even yelling at people for being on drugs or being, you know, too drunk all the time or whatever the hell it is. But there might be something within Yzerman's decision that said, we have a decision to make for what players we have to sit, what players we actually have to send down to make room for the guys who are all coming back. I mean, you have Fabry came back today. Zadina is about to be back. Tyler Bertuzzi is about to be back. I mean, you're getting a lot of meat in the seats. Back, right? So is it the focus that is important? And maybe if he saw Verona as less focused because of everything he just went through, that
which is understandable. So I agree, but I don't think that it's any sort of punishment. I think it's just like, this is a business and I need to do what's best for the team right now.
Right.
And if that means you getting picked up by another team, well, we've, you know, you probably didn't say this to him, but like, we've been doing fine without you. As much as you would help our club, you're just not ready to come back yet.
Right. It's not my intention to have you gone.
Right.
And picked up by another team. However, the only way I can give you that more padded, catered to opportunity to get your game back in order the way we and yourself need it to be involves the risk of losing you to another team. And if you went to another team, they'd indubitably see that they were in the same boat with this new player and maybe couldn't ice him right away. So what? Then right. They have to fucking waive him, you know, even if you went to Arizona, or you just play kind of poorly until you get there. But does that run you the risk of getting hurt? I don't know. There's so many things that could go into it. But that little mind game of if Eiserman's not allowed to like have a group text with all the other GMs and say, hey, would you guys pinky swear not to pick up Jacob Vrana if I waive him? Because I have this whole crazy plan. And they all go, yeah, no problem, Stevie. You know, loved your New Year's party, man. You're fucking wild. Guy's got lungs of steel. Because I think, Evan, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't this scandal go to like Congress and baseball in the 80s when Curt Flood and a couple other players, they kind of spearheaded the motion to get the, what do they call it, the reserve clause taken away. So, Eric, in baseball, there was a reserve clause for decades, over 100 years, I would say. For as old as baseball is, there was a thing where if you were drafted or initially signed by a team, that team owned your rights ever. So you could get traded, but there was no such thing as free agency.
Wow.
That was abolished in 1975.
Yeah, that's a long time for no free agency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was abolished, right, at that time. But the first couple guys that decided to test free agency, none of them got any offers, and they ended up signing for less than they probably wanted with their teams because the guys were like, oh, look who's come crawling fucking back. You know, turns out it was a giant league-wide conspiracy where all the owners had a gentleman's agreement that when they saw a player who formerly belonged to another team come forward and test free agency, that they would not offer any of those guys contracts.
Wow.
So yeah, it was crazy shit, right?
Yeah, it's nuts.
So
yeah, I don't think we're anywhere near that, but
well, my point is that I don't think you can do that. So right. Eiserman would not have gotten on the horn with all the other general managers and said, hey, don't pick up Vrana. Do I have your promise? So the point is that he could have very well lost Vrana on waivers. Didn't have any guarantees.
I think if you just look at, you know, his stats, the everything that we've just said, he gets paid $5.25 million a year, and he hasn't played in a while. Which is hard
to swallow.
Right.
If you're picking him up.
So, like, knowing that and understand, and like you said, because they said you need a full 2 weeks of to recoup, if he's that not ready to play, then it's just going to take even longer for him to get into a groove with any other team.
Yeah. So those are the pros that you weighed if you were Stevie and Lalonde and everyone else that was involved, which I'm pretty sure it's just basically those two, maybe the assistant coaches. But, you know, there's other items to discuss there because, you just ran the risk of losing the guy for nothing. It did say on someone came out and tweeted a couple things. It was like only six teams actually had the cap space to claim him without a subsequent move of their roster. So maybe it's just like you just catch someone by surprise.
It's just a good time of year.
Time of year. So you like put them on waivers now. No one can even have, they can't react in 24 hours to pick this guy up. The other thing is by announcing you were going to extend his Grand Rapids stint, right there is a good little card to play to be like, hey, we told you he's not ready.
Right.
So picking him up is just, it's just more chore and hassle than it's worth, especially
it's a gamble. If you have to make
a roster move. And it's a gamble.
You don't know if it's going to work out in the end. He could start playing well and then, you know, have to, if he relapsed or is still having problems or whatever it might be, he could end up not playing for a while or retiring. You know, that's happened before.
Right. Any of those things. So then, but again, you didn't lose much if you were right. Those couple teams that could afford it by just picking the guy up. So what keeps those teams away from that?
$5.25 million a year.
$5.25 million. And they're already sort of situated with their. So, yeah, it's just like a great.
Yeah, it's a great move.
It's a great move. But also it's those aren't the only things that keep or that make you do it. I think that Yzerman's going to say that, like we were saying, the team is gelling fairly well right now. And a big part of that are these kids that you could easily go put them back down to Grand Rapids where they would get top minutes. Guaranteed, and they'd be waiver exempt, so you wouldn't run any risk of losing them. But I think this right. has a big statement of like, who's my babies more than Verana when it comes to where we are in this rebuild, right? If Joe Valeno or Jonathan Berggren or Elmer Soderblom are really being like potentially even game breakers when they're scoring tying goals right. and whatnot,
that's the thing. They're helping the team,
right?
When you help the team and you. After you're brought up, I mean, it's hard to send you back down without clear proof that someone's better.
Right. I think Ken Holland for the Red Wings used to, he didn't really have that kind of subtlety to him. It was no. like, if the guy is a turd, but he's a $5 million turd and he floats to the top of the bowl after being jammed down in the fucking pipes for the last whatever, because of whatever ailment he's got, doesn't matter how well this rookie is playing. That's just the order of things. But I right. mean, that's also why he gave someone out of loyalty, you know, someone like Justin Abdelkader, who scored like a high of 23 goals 1 year, and he was awarded a 7 year, almost $5 million yeah. a year deal because he's a fucking Michigan boy and it because all the loyalty shit. But it's like, dude, you didn't have the foresight to see that the reason he scored all those goals, which all those goals is not a lot of, Lucas Raymond scored that many goals last year.
Right.
It's right.
Not
and
even
he was
that
a
many. And he played next to Pavel.
Yeah. It Datsyuk and or Zetterberg were his fucking dish mates. Right. Yeah. So like those guys were not going to be there forever. And our legacy going forward is Justin Abdelkader. There's just too much of that shit where, and I think that plays into his mindset for that too. Was it like you reward the loyalty, you reward 1 year. And also if I sign into that big contract, doesn't matter if someone's already taken your job. I'm going to give you your spot back
right.
when you're ready to play. And that poor little kid is going to go down being like, what exactly is the lesson here? It's just
right.
seniority rules. And yeah, like regardless of how I was playing.
What's funny is that it's not even seniority. It's I paid you this much. So now I need to justify doing it because you're not good enough to do it on your own. So I'm going to have to give you this spot so I don't look bad.
Right. It's like masturbatory sabotage. I bent myself over a barrel and I'm just going to have to keep plugging away because, yeah. But in the meantime, guess who doesn't get more NHL time? Yzerman wants Valeno and Berggren and Soderblom to get to keep on the trajectory that they're going on, because if everything works out right, they're on the team for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
Right. And Verana. If those were the only components you were considering, but you're not, you're also bringing into the, like I said, the focus, the he's not ready, he's not up to it. He just doesn't automatically win his spot back over these kids, right?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, like, it was a great, like, you could tell right away, considering he went down for an original three-game stint. Like you said, he didn't score a single point.
That's why the AHL started, by the way, the original three.
Right.
The NHL had their six.
Right. And he was a -5. So that doesn't look very good for the guy of his caliber.
Right.
Like, that's
like, hey,
a clear
okay.
indication that he's okay, he's not ready.
Yeah. And we have to waive someone. And we're not going to waive someone who's at any point in time can get us a couple points in a game and who's playing well.
Yeah. Hey,
the more we talk about this, the more it makes total sense that you would just pick Jacob Vrana in this and just fucking waive him.
Right.
And you happen, I guess, to be in a real nice spot to where people probably weren't going to pick him up because of all kinds of reasons, but especially because you just didn't have the time to react.
Right.
Because it was so random and so unexpected.
So that's where my mind goes. Do you think that he would have been picked up? Or, okay, no. If do you think Yzerman would have gone through with that plan had it been a different time of year and people had the money to do it?
I feel like if it was a lot closer to... No, because you're totally right. If it was closer to the trade deadline, people would absolutely do it because people make foolish trade deadline acquisitions to try and bolster their roster.
Right. So do you think Yzerman would have just said, all right, I'll send a guy that has a two-way down and just deal with it so that I don't lose this guy?
It all depends on what their playoff situation would be at that point, which, again, yes to your question, but it's also there's always something else you can add, which, yeah, again, brings us to how practiced Steve Yzerman seems to be at this. And now that Verana's cleared waivers and can just stay in Grand Rapids until he decides that he likes, you know, all those things we talked about, the fine amenities and
steak and sushi. And
yeah. And truly earns his way back onto the team. Then it's like, he really got that fresh start. Like, Yzerman gave you the fresh start you were also looking for without totally needing to tear the whole thing down and be like, I need a new team, I need a new this. And like, no, hockey was on the back burner, as it should have been, while you were figuring out yourself.
Right. Okay?
But in Detroit with the Red Wings, hockey wasn't on the back burner during that time. So fairly.
You got to catch up.
You got to catch up. And we, hey man, we are invested in you. We want you to be part of this.
Right.
And this is best for both parties. So if you take everything we just said, all those components where it was risky, but there was a good chance that the timing was right to where he'd catch other people off guard. He wasn't just going to mindlessly send down and punish these kids that are doing well just because of the fucking pecking order. He's going to give Verana more time. But also, you know, Yzerman has seen this stuff when it comes to, are you focused? And being out of focus, is that something that you're doing to yourself and you're destroying yourself? Because, you know, he was really good friends with Bob Probert.
Oh, yeah.
And Proby's vision was never fully vertigoed on hockey when it mattered because, hey, you're on an airplane or you're driving to or from a practice or a game, or it's, you got a game tomorrow or you had a game earlier and you're getting busted with illicit substances, you know.
Yeah.
And that clearly does not show your focus is on your job and your team. And Proby wasn't around for those cup teams because of that.
Right.
Or largely because of that. And then he saw it with Darren McCarty.
Right. So you got to wonder if it's just the, he's doing the tough love because he's seen it not work out when you just let them keep going on the trajectory they're on.
Right. And he's also seen it work out with Mac.
Right.
Who in 2008 had been out of the league for a handful of years, had some personal demons to deal with, got those seemingly under wraps, really started from the bottom, started working out with the help of his friend, you know, with Chris Draper.
Yeah.
And he went through the ringer. I don't even remember what league the Flint Generals were in. I don't even know if they're still a team.
I have no idea.
But McCarty made his debut back to hockey with them.
Yeah. And then on to Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it was either in Flint or Grand Rapids, but one of those, his first game with either, he scored a hat trick and got into like a fight, you know. Nice. But he earned his way back onto a Red Wings team that was already dominating that year and ended up winning a cup.
Right, they were stacked.
So, right, but they still found room for him.
Yeah.
Because he showed he could still do it. So,
So that's what we're hoping to see out of Verana.
Right. And that's what you get because at the end of the day, Steve Yzerman is a stone cold killing gangster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knows what he's doing and mm-hmm. he's not afraid to do it.
Never seen anything like it. I love watching that guy work. I can't believe he just pulled that shit off.
I know. Yeah. It was hard to believe he did it when I first saw it. But yeah, like you said, talking about it, it makes a lot of sense, and he's just a very, very cunning man when it comes to making...
Shrewd operator.
Yeah, shrewd.
You know it. So when we laid all that out and it made more sense to us, we hope that the same layout we just accomplished helped all of you wandering wayward minds who are just choked up on this Verona situation. I hope that that helped you too. Now you understand. You just got to ask the expert.
The expert.
You know who the real winner in here is? The Griffins. They're going to be selling tickets.
Right.
For all of these games. They're just like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Well, especially for the next little bit here, because Alex Nedeljkovic, who's part of this three goalie circus that's going on, that's so rare in the NHL. So Yzerman's he's at the center of all these real rarities that there's no, why not dabble in things that there's no book written about? So people, they don't everywhere go to figure out how to beat you.
No one knows how to react.
Right. So now you have three goalies also up for quite an extended period of time, but you're not sending Nedeljkovic down for a conditioning stint. I take back what I was just going to say. I was going to say you don't send him down just to sit him back on the bench for another month. But if you can get away with it, why wouldn't you? You keep not playing him, but you keep him until whatever the hell the plan is comes to fruition. That's a whole other thing.
So give him some ice time.
Right. So GR is going to have an NHL level goalie, a guy who scores 5-on-5 at a rate bested only by Austin Matthews. And like, who knows, maybe they'll have the teddy bear toss and like a real goofy fucking jersey.
Yep.
So sell tickets in Grand Rapids, brought to you by Fubo and due for a sharpening. And when the Nedeljkovic, when the next big chapter in that saga unfurls itself, we hope to bring you a nice little broken down, deconstructed
opinion,
hockey opinion creme brulee that'll burn the roof of your mouth.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Due for a Sharpening in the Books. We just wanted to take this moment to remind you that you can find us on Instagram at Due for a Sharpening, as well as on the internet at DueForASharpening.com. If you enjoyed the episode, we would invite you to leave us a rating or even a written review on whatever platform you're listening on, Apple Music, Spotify, or whatever it is. We would really appreciate that, and it would definitely help us with our visibility and finding new listeners just like you. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.